Shea Gordon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Dr. Thomas J. Borelli. He's senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research in Washington, D.C. Public Policy Group, where he serves as the director of the Free Enterprise Project. Previously, Dr. Borelli was a managing partner with the investment advisory firm of Action Fund Management, LLC, and a portfolio manager for the Free Enterprise Action Fund. He is a microbiologist by education and extremely knowledgeable about the financial sector. And Dr. Borelli, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I think you'll agree that under Jack Welch, General Electric was in just about every different kind of business you can think of, from railroad, you know, locomotives down to light bulbs, and prospered, did extremely well, and so much so that Mr. Welch is sort of an icon. But then Mr. Welch retired, and General Electric CEO became this fellow Jeffrey Immelt. And it's my view that since Mr. Immelt's accession to that office, the General Electric has just been going downhill. And the most recent problem has been this settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission for cooking the books, is, I think, the slang term for what they did. I think the SEC said they bent the accounting rules beyond the breaking point, and so on. And the purpose, apparently, was to deceive investors as to the profit and loss of General Electric. And that is a mortal sin in financial circles, to deceive investors. Am I correct in my summation there?
No, absolutely right. I mean, it's really called fraud.
Yeah.
It's simply fraud, deceiving investors. You know, cook the books to make your quarterly earnings is fraud. And the SEC had charged General Electric with actually four instances where they were playing accounting games. So it wasn't just once, it wasn't twice, it was absolutely four times. And, you know, it's basically fraud. But what's even more disturbing than you know, the charges was the fact that they were allowed to settle for $50 million, may add a mere $50 million.
Well, could that be because Mr. Immelt serves on President Obama's Economic Advisory Board?
In my opinion, absolutely. How would it look? Think about it for a minute. How would it look if the handpicked economic advisor for the President of the United States was found guilty of fraud?
Yeah.
That would not look good for Mr. Obama. That's the last thing that he would need. So magically you get this settlement, and if it was any other CEO, let's face it, Congress is all over Wall Street, you know, some deservedly so. But here you have a case of basically two sets of books in terms of the way General Electric did accounting, and now we have two sets of standards for other CEOs, other citizens, and then the special set for Jeff Immelt.
Wow.
And this is, you know, highly underreported, which is even more frightening. You would think the media would be all over another corporate cheat.
Yeah.
But yet there's this deafening silence.
Yes, well, you know, I think your emphasis on the four times, you know, one time could have been a lapse, an error, an absence. Four times doesn't happen by accident.
No, and you know, what's even more amazing, it was in two of the instances were in the financial sector, One dealt with aviation parts, another unit, and then the other was with their locomotives. So it wasn't just one guy. You had a series, and basically you have a pattern. And remember, this follows Sarbanes-Oxley, which was supposed to end all the accounting games.
Yeah.
And every CEO and every chief financial officer has to sign the document with their, I think it's called their 10K disclosure. And if they lie on that, I believe it's a criminal penalty. It may even include jail time.
Yeah, well, I think the document says, you know, that they have read the financial statement and agree that it is true and accurate and so on and so forth. And if four times Jeffrey Immelt did that, that's four separate crimes.
Some people, three strikes you out, he gets an extra strike.
And
he's still up at bat.
Well, do you think that part of the slap on the wrist treatment of Mr. Immelt is because he uses GE's ownership of NBC and MSNBC to promote the Obama administration?
Gord, you're right on top, because not only for the political aspect, but you also think about their board of directors. I mean, they have the responsibility to watch Immelt, and they're not. I think what's going on here, and you don't see a big outcry from the media either regarding this instance. I mean, this is one of the largest corporations in the United States. I think everyone is afraid of Jeff Immelt, and there's reason for this, by the way. At the GE shareholder meeting, of which I attended along with my wife, you know, we recorded the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, and a lot of shareholders were there, were totally outraged of GE's conduct, the way the stock has plummeted, the way MSNBC is so biased. This was a general, it was almost like a town hall meeting that we're seeing now.
Yeah.
And there was a reporter, his name is Paul Bond, and he works for the Hollywood Reporter, and he wrote an article about the shareholder meeting. What happened was Immelt, through NBC, pulled advertising from his publication, and they tried to get him fired.
Oh, boy. Well,
now, this guy plays for keeps. And what I had to do is I had to send out the recording of what we recorded the meeting to try to defend this reporter's job. So this is a guy who will say and do anything to keep his job. And I think, you know, the business leaders, they certainly don't want to be criticized on CNBC, probably the biggest financial network. Why would you want to take on, you know, that media? Because then your stock could be tarnished.
Well, how did Immelt, get the job previously held by Jack Welch? I mean, did a superb job. Who recruited Immelt?
Well, you know, at the time there were, you know, for like everything else, unfortunately, big corporations. You know, the the guy who gets to the top or the gal gets to the top is not necessarily the best, but they're probably the best political infiltrator, backstabber, suck-up kind of a person.
Right.
And clearly Welch's biggest mistake was picking Immelt to be the CEO, because it's led to a disaster. And ironically, it's probably Welch is the only one who could get him fired. Because he would know everybody on the board. He would have to make those phone calls to the board and say, okay, it's time for him to go. And we haven't seen that yet, because it's not going to come internally, because, you know, the head of P&G is on the board. The head of Avon is on the board. And they're probably afraid of Immelt. Who's going to want to fire Immelt when he's sitting to the left of the president in those meetings? And it was, you know, a snapshot of one of the economic advisory panel meetings. And there's Immelt sitting right next to the president of the United States. Who's got the courage to say, okay, this guy's got to go? Because they would be afraid of retaliation, not only from the media empire, maybe even from, the government.
Well, you know, if I were Jack Welch, and I'm not, but I imagine that a lot of my wealth, were I Mr. Welch, would be in GE stock. That's usually, one of the ways people are compensated as CEOs, they get stock, they get options, and so on. If that is so, his personal wealth must have taken a tremendous hit as a result of the disastrous fall in the value of the shares of General Electric. And that would certainly, I would think, not endear him to Mr. Imel.
No, absolutely. But he would have to have the courage to basically say, if he leads the charge to get him out, he'd have to say, I was wrong by picking him.
Yeah, well, that would be kind of remarking the obvious, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but let's face it, there's not many people talking about this issue. Thank God for you, because you know, very few people are understand the real game here. And you have to think of all the Wall Street analysts who are silent on this matter, all the financial media that are silent on this matter. You know, it really is truly frightening where you have one of the biggest and most powerful corporations basically joined at the hip with the government. And this isn't the only, I would say, special favor they've gotten. You know, they're talking about new banking regulations, which, because, you know, GE is a hybrid. It's part kind of a bank and it's part industrial.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, they're not really regulated as stringently as a bank. So the new banking regulations could force GE to spin off its financial arm. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Barney Frank said that General Electric would be most likely exempt from that, from the new banking laws.
Oh, boy. They're really...
And they also had backing for, again, they're not a regular bank, but when they put out their short-term bonds to fund their operations, they also got FDIC backing for that, which was another exception.
Wow, it's just one exception after another. You know the old expression, if they can do no wrong. Well, they can do wrong all they want, and nobody cares, apparently. Oh, boy. My guest is Dr. Thomas J. Borelli, ladies and gentlemen. We will take a quick break, and I'll be back with Dr. Borelli. He's senior fellow at the National Center for Public Policy Research in Washington, D.C.
This is the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Dr. Thomas J. Borelli, senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research in Washington, D.C. And Dr. Borelli, you have to wonder, what do you have to do to get arrested in this town if you're with General Electric? I mean, it's astonishing what's going on. And then they're creating new legislation to regulate corporations such as General Electric. And so all General Electric's competitors will be regulated, and General Electric will not.
I mean, right. They get exempt for everything. Two sets of books, two sets of rules. The other thing I forgot to mention about General Electric, let's not forget that it looks like they basically wrote the Waxman-Markey bill on cap and trade.
Oh, my word.
I mean, they are going to, you know, they sell wind turbines. I believe in the bill there's a mandate of a certain amount of energy from renewables, which is
That's basically right.
Wind turbines. So they basically have the government guarantee their business. They had in that bill there is language that would create basically a green bank. That is, the United States government is going to basically hand out loans for green energy projects, which helps build the new, I believe would help build the new electric power grid that GE wants, the smart grid. And they're even going to get a rebate for every refrigerator and dishwasher they sell if it's energy efficient. So I believe the way it's written, the government would be writing a check to General Electric if every time you buy a GE fuel-efficient refrigerator, energy-efficient refrigerator.
Well, that's just amazing. Now, given all of that, why is their stock tanking?
Well, you know, what's the old saying? You fool some of the people some of the time.
Gotcha.
But they had tremendous exposure to the financial downturn. I believe over about 50% of their profit has come from the financial area, and they basically had, you know, a business model where they would lend, they would borrow for very cheap and then invest, you know, all that money elsewhere. But, you know, when the economic crisis hit last year, they got caught basically with their pants down. And they still have a very, very exposed to commercial real estate, especially in Europe. And apparently, they're not very forthcoming with the numbers. And again, because they go by a set, different set of rules, they don't have to keep the same stringency that some banks would have to in terms of the way, the amount of money they have to hold on their books.
Yeah.
So they've basically been skirting under the radar screen for so long. And when you really boil down to it, you know, you don't have a lot of leadership. And people get lazy. And let's face it, when you take an overconfident, and sometimes you have to see the storm coming and then take leadership position, say, oh, we better change quick before this storm hits us. But when you got a guy like Imbeld, I mean, if he's going to intimidate a reporter, could imagine what it's like working for the guy?
Yeah, well, you know, I do recall seeing some pretty strong critical articles in the Financial Times of London about GE. Is that because they're a UK outfit and not intimidated by Imbeld?
Yeah, it could be. But, you know, also with reporters, if you write something critical, even a stock analyst, you're not going to have access to them. They'll just shut you off.
Yeah,
so it's, you know, it's really quite a challenge what's being really imposed on the American people. You have an out-of-control corporation lockstep with the Obama administration.
Oof. Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Borelli, for helping us try to blow the whistle on this guy at General Electric. Something needs to be done. I don't know if the law enforcement agencies won't do it. I don't know who can, but Imel's pants are down, and nobody seems to want to point it out. Thank you, sir.